Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metziach Kuvches. We are holding right on top on the first line. Picking up right in the middle of yesterday's story, which involved Rabba Barav Huna. So he had a forest growing right until the river. Now the accepted practice was to remove a swath of trees to clear a strip of land alongside the rivers, right? So along both sides, to allow for the tug people, right? They didn't have any tugboats in those days, so there were tug people. They were pulling these ropes on both sides of the... So you had a boat on the river, and you had people on both sides pulling the boat via these ropes. They needed some space. It was like this shipping lane. So they would ensure that the sides of the river were cleared. Now, Rabba Barav Huna had a forest going up until the river, and we learned yesterday the reason why he didn't cut it was because he said, "Look, I know the people upstream and downstream are not going to cooperate. They were difficult people to deal with. Until they remove their trees, there's no point. It's pointless to remove my trees right in the middle, where it wouldn't really help anybody. So, meaning if the people upstream clear their strip." So then when you get to me, you cut mine as well. Otherwise, what's the point? So he left his standing. And now we continue with the second part of the story. Rabba Barav Nachman, a different Amira, Habakazal Barber, he was traveling downriver in a boat. Chazahu Abba, he notices this very forest belonging to Rabba Barav Huna, the Koya Gudanahar, right, situated on the riverside. Amar Lahu. So he turned to the people, the man, who does it belong to? Amar Lay. They told him, well, the Rabba Barav Huna belongs to him. Amar, he's very surprised. He knew the whole story. He knew the background to the story. So he criticized them with a pasuk in Ezra, Yada, Sarim. Look, these are the leaders. They should be leading by example. They should be the ones to take the plunge, to show the way. Why is he keeping his forest? V'yad ha-sorim v'askanim hoysa b'mala z'rishoyna. Right? The ministers are the first ones to violate. He was very unhappy with Rabba Barav Huna's behavior. Right? Because unbeknown to him, there was a reason for it, right? Amar Lahus, he told the people, Kaitzu, chop the trees. Kaitzu, they did so. Also, Rabba Barav Huna, the owner, came and notices Ashkeche, he sees the kites that are chopping the trees. Amar, he says, Man kaitse, who's the one that gave the instructions? Who are they doing this? Who's doing this? Tikutz Adenfe, the one who's cutting my trees, his own branches, his children should be affected, should be removed, should be cut off. Amri, and the story was that in fact his kalola took effect kuli shnei throughout the entire lifetime of the Rabba Barav Huna le yikayim le zara le Rabba Barav Nachman. Rabba Barav Nachman did not have any children all throughout Rabba Barav Huna's lifetime because of this klala that he expressed due to this episode. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, hakoil le'igle gapa. So when they're building the wall around the city for security, everybody, all residents must contribute. Right, afilu miyasmi, even the yisaimim, because it's to their benefit. Avol rabon loy, but not the tamid hacham. They don't have to contribute to the wall fund. Why? My time, rabbonon, tamid hacham who are involved in Torah, they have their own source of protection. Rabbonon loy tzrichen etirus, they don't need protection, and therefore we can't charge them for the wall. However, when it comes to providing water, they need water too. The Karya, the pasir, when they come, dig up some well or a spring. So everybody will contribute. Afilu mirabban, even the chacham will contribute. V'le'amar, but that's only true if they're collecting funds. Ela de'le'navki b'chluzef, they're not going out personally, meaning the residents are not personally going out to dig. They're just collecting funds. They collect from everybody. But if the system entailed going out personally to dig that well, loy, then the chachamim are not included. Why? The rabbanon lav bnei meipak b'chluzaninu. It's not customary. It's not covered for chachamim to go out and dig wells, and therefore they're excluded. They're exempted from this service. Amar b'yud l'karyo. So we have a river streaming down. Okay. we have several, you know, people living on the riverbank, or having, you know, they're having their properties, their farms on the riverbank. And there's an issue with the river, the flow of the river. It's being, you know, clogged up. Okay. So when it comes time to unclog the river, to drain the river, tatoi mesai iloi. So the people living downstream, they have to lend a hand to the people upstream to unclog the river, because the barriers, right, holding back the flow upstream is really obstructing the flow from downstream as well. So they're benefiting by having the fellows upstream clear the path. They have to contribute. But the fellows upstream do not have to contribute, do not have to lend a shoulder to the people downstream, because you're not helping me. I don't need the water to go downstream, right? I live upstream. In fact, it's even better if the water backs up and I get more water, says Rashi, right? Eloi, the ones upstairs, loy mesayit, they don't have to help the ones downstairs. But if you go to the draining system, meaning let's say there is an issue with drainage, so the you know, let's say you have a sewer system in town, right? And there's some issue with the outlet. It's not, you know, it's clogged up at the outlet. So there it works the other way around. Chilufa, you switch it around. B'mayit d'mitzvah, when it comes to draining rainwater off the streets. So in that case, it's the opposite. The people upstream have to lend a hand to the people downstream, because if it's clogged downstream, there's going to be a backup. But the people downstream do not have to help clear the drains upstream. It doesn't really, it's not relevant to us what's happening upstream. If anything, it's better for us that your wastewater doesn't flow downstream. So when it comes to Mayo Dimitra, rainwater is trying to be drained out of the area, you go the other way around. You find the same in a Braiso. You have five gardens that are drawing their water from one source, one well. In the skalkel hamayan, and that well is now ruined. It's not flowing properly, not providing enough water. Kulam, and again, it's going, you know, on a slope from upstream downstream. Kulam mesaknos imalyon. All these neighbors have to lend a hand, lend a shoulder, contribute to the expenses or whatever with the people upstream, because everybody's benefiting from this water flowing down to them. Nimtze, so it turns out that you end up with the following equation. Hatachtoina, the one living downstream, metakenes im kulon, he has to contribute with all of them, with the fellow above him, and above him, and above him, right? Wherever there's an issue, he's got to be involved as well, because it's helping the fellow downstream. Umetakenes la'atzma. However, if there's an issue, a blockage, opposite his property downstream, and guess what? You know who pays? Only he does. Nobody will help him. V'chein chamesh chatzeres. And likewise, and this is the other case where there's a drainage issue, a sewer issue. So you have five clusters of residents. Shoyim kalchis mayim lebevechad, where their wastewater is draining into one system. V'nis kalchel habiv. Something went wrong with the drain. It's clogged up. Is a backup. Kula mitakmes imatachtoina. So all the ones that are higher up have to go and help the ones on bottom to clear the outlet. Nimtzeis, so in conclusion, you have the following equation. So the one living all on top, he has to help the one below him, right? Because he's being helped, he's benefiting from a smooth flow going from him all the way down. Umetakenes la'atzma. But however, if there's an issue upstream, up on top, at the upper portion of that drain, guess what? He only has himself to charge. Nobody will help him because it's only benefiting him. Amar Shmuel, Hayman de Achsk. If a person decides to take over this sort of semi-public property, Baraksa de Nahara, this empty space that they leave at the port for unloading, he decides to set up shop there, to set up camp. Chatzifahavi, it's inappropriate. But Siluki, regarding evicting him, loy misalkin le, we can't evict him because technically he hasn't really taken it from anybody. But nowadays that it belongs to somebody. How? To Kokas, Viparsoy, in Persia they have the shtar, so when somebody purchases that property, you know, that area, he gets a document to this effect. Konilach, you're going to acquire, ad into the river, ad malit savari susaya, until where the horse's neck reaches. Basically, you get into the water as well. Maya, right? So not only the river bank belongs to the buyer of that area, even the part of the river itself, until where the, you know, the horse can stand. So technically it belongs to somebody, but he allows, right, the shippers to use the area. So now if somebody decides to park himself there, so look, you nami, we force him out because you're taking over somebody's property. What are you building a house here? It belongs to someone. Omar Vidomarav. Haiman da achsek bene achir bene shutvi. So according to some of Farshim, we're speaking about, let's say, three brothers who inherited their father, or three partners in a, you know, in a venture, in a property, a joint venture on a property, and the middle partner decided to take leave, and somebody else came along and bought it from him. So instead of giving it to his partners, he gave it to a stranger. Chatzi fahavi. It's inappropriate, because you should have allowed the partners, right? It's much easier and more convenient for them to have, you know, a continuous property, right? But siluki le misalkinle, we don't force him out. I mean, it wasn't right, wasn't ethical, but technically he bought it, it's his. For Rav Nachman Omar, nami misalkinle, no, we force him out. It's so grossly inappropriate, we force him out. He has to go and turn it over to the brothers, the partners. But that's only specifically in this case, because he went, you know, that far, and he really did something. But v'imushum dina de bar metra, let's say, Reuven owns a property next to Shimon. Okay, two separate landowners, and Reuven decides to sell his property. Instead of selling it to Shimon, instead of, you know, giving Shimon the first right of refusal, which would have been appropriate, because, you know, it's always easier to have two adjacent properties. It's easier to maintain or whatever, right? So that's called dina de bar metra, dina bar metra. The fellow who's on the boundary, meaning it's a neighbor, neighbor's right, neighbor's privilege, right? So if it entails such a situation that he sold it to a stranger instead of his neighbor, it's not as terrible as coming right in the middle of two partners. Lo misalkin alei. So we can't force him out. He shouldn't be doing it, but we can't force him out. So when you buy right in the middle of two brothers, two partners, the Ran says, they can say, look, we were partners, right? All three of us. Now, when he decided to leave, we sort of take it over. It belongs to us. We're partners. So he has no business selling it to somebody else. But when it's just a plain neighbor complaining about his neighbor that sold it to a stranger, that's inappropriate, but the buyer stays on the field. Nardoi Amri, they take it a step further. Afilu mishum dino de bar metra. Even if he violated dino bar metra, misalkinle, we evict the buyer. You must turn it back over to the neighbor. Mishum shenemar v'asisa ha'yashar v'atoyiv be'eni Hashem. The Torah instructs us to go down the ways of righteousness and goodness and generosity. And therefore we compel him to turn it over, to sell it to the neighbor, who will now have two adjacent properties. Says the Gemara. Okay, let's say Reuven owns this field. Shimon has the bar metra right, but also imlechbe. Reuven offered it to Shimon, amrle, and he says no problem, sell it. Right, amrle. Reuven asked Shimon, ezli izvain, should I go sell it to somebody? Amrle izvain, yeah, sell it. I don't have any need for it. Okay, so basically he's forfeiting his bar metra rights. How does that happen? Sorech liknamine. In order for that to take effect, in order for Reuven to be sure that Shimon means it seriously, it's not just, you know, kidding him. And Rashi says, you know, maybe it's just a setup because he wants a stranger to make an offer to Reuven. This way he knows exactly what it's really worth, rather than going himself and trying to buy it from Reuven, who knows that he's sort of desperate. He has a special interest in this field. It might hike the price on him. So basically, you want to be sure that he's really serious when he told Reuven that he has no problem selling it to a stranger. Do you have to make a kinyan to commit himself to that forfeiture? Or is a kinyan not required? Ravina Amar Loi Tzorach Limiknumene, a kinyan is not required. Shimon has given up that right, and Reuven can just go sell it to anybody. Nardoi Amri, they take it a step further, meaning according to Nardoi, we're more serious, as we saw before, we take it more seriously. Tzorich, Nardoi Amrit Tzorich, L'mikrimineh, without a kinyan, you know, you can't assume anything. V'l'chasan, that's the Allah, Tzorich, L'mikrimineh. Now, hashta the Amrit Tzorich, L'mikrimineh, now that we've concluded that in order for it to be considered a forfeiture of his rights, he has to actually make a kinyan. So if they did not make a kinyan, and a stranger, let's call him Levi, now bought Reuven's field instead of Shimon the neighbor, so we view it as though he's just representing Shimon. Unbelievable. It's as though Shimon really bought it by way of Levi, his agent. Yaakov. So now if the price went up, the value went up after he purchased the field. Vizoil or went down Bershusei. It's Shimon's gain or loss. Because we deem it as though he purchased it via Levi. We consider him like an owner. That's how strong the din of Bametra is. Now what about Zavan Bemeya Vishavi Masan? Levi, the stranger, purchased this field from Reuven for $100. Really it's worth $200. He got a good deal. Does he have to pass on that discount to Shimon, right? When he turns it over to Shimon the Bametra, can he just give it to him at face value, 200? Or does he have to pass on that discount? So we'll see what its real value is. Chazina, we take a close look. Ilu kuli amaka mezila umazbin. If this was the price that he offered to anybody, yoiv lemeya, vishakale. So Shimon will not give Levi his $100 and take the field. Viloi, but let's say it was not a public price. This was something specific. Because Levi was his good friend, a business partner, right? He had, you know, some business interests with him. So there, we attribute the discount to Levi, and Levi has a right to insist that Shimon pays him the full value of 200. Viloi, Yerbele Masan has to pay him 200. Shakalian can take the field. Zavan bin Masan, Rishavimea. Let's flip it around. Reuben, the owner, sold it to Levi for 200. Really, it was worth 100. And Levi is now asking for the field and only wants to pay the real value, which is 100. Sovereign Mina. So the Gemara figured, Motzi Amalei, Levi can tell Shimon, look, it's like you're my agent, like we explained, right? I'm really the, I have the right to the purchase. You're just my agent. So why do you pay so much? You overpaid. Motzi Amalei, Lekuni Shadartich. I sent you, so to speak, to help me. V'loi lavusi, not to harm me. So the fact that you overpaid is your issue. Amar lei mark shisha breder chizda ravashi. No. Hachi amri nardoi. Mishum derav nachman. Even nardoi. Who are very strict on dinah d'mametra, but here it's different. Ein oino al karkois. We had this back in Berkazov and in different places that when it comes to property, there's no oino. A person can, you know, property is worth anything. So basically, even if technically you overpaid, you have to give him that full amount. Zogon le greva da arba mitzah nichsi. Oh, Reuben has a field, big field. And he took a little section within his property and he sold it to a stranger. Instead of offering it to his neighbor Shimon, he sold it to Levi. Zogon le greva da arba, a small piece of land, be mitzah nichsi, middle of his estate. So now Levi becomes a local owner, and now when Reuben turns around and wants to sell the rest of his estate, Levi says, "Well, I mean, I'm just as close as Levi next door. I'm right here. I'm also a neighbor." Is that a valid argument, or is it just a setup? Was that just a way for Reuben to bring Levi into the picture and give him that bar mitzvah right, which is not right? Chazinan. So we see what happened. If this little piece of property is different than the rest of his property that he's selling now. Idis means it's the best quality. Zibur is the worst quality. It doesn't really match the rest of the field. Idis, Zibur, Zibini, Zibini. We consider it a valid sale. There's a good reason why he wanted to get rid of this piece of land because it didn't match the rest of his property. So now Levi becomes a local. He becomes a local landowner. And now he has full right to bid on, you know, when Reuben turns around to sell the rest of his property, Shimon has just as right as Levi, to bid for the properties. But let's say it's not so. the small tract of land that Reuven sold Levi was no different than everything else that he owned. Irume Kamar. Apparently it's just a ploy. Right? He sold a piecemeal, figuring, okay, a little piece, Levi, Shimon, my neighbor, is not going to notice, not going to make a ruckus. This was just a strategy to get Levi's foot into the door, to get him one foot in. That's not fair. So now Rashi says, Hilkach mehashto misal kinali. So now we chase him out, and Shimon has the first right to purchase the whole deal. Now, going further, the Gemara is going to bring us about 8, 10, 12 cases where the halacha of Bar Metzra does not apply. So typically when Reuven and Shimon, who are neighbors, if one of them wants to sell his field, he has to first offer it to his neighbor. But let's say it's a matana. He's not really selling it. He's giving it as a gift to somebody. Lespa mishum dino de Bar Metzra. It doesn't involve Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra is if I'm selling it. If I decide to give it as a gift to a friend, you can't complain. Amar Meimar. There's an exception to that. Ikosav li'achrayis. If in that gift document we notice an interesting clause, achrayis, it's warranted. The gift is warranted if a bank comes and repossesses it, I'm going to give you another one. That's not typical for people don't do that on a gift. Oh, so apparently it really was sold. You're just pretending it was a gift. So now we go back, we revert to the halacha bar metzra. So Shimon has a right to take up the field. Likewise, let's say Reuven sells his entire estate, huge multi-billion-dollar deal, to one customer. Okay, he's lucky to find a good customer. He can't complain. Why didn't he offer it to Shimon, his neighbor? He had a steal of a deal. And again, the whole point of bar metzra is vasisa yashar atayv. Do what's right. Be generous. Be nice. But, you know, up to a point. You can't, you know, totally disenfranchise yourself. Right? It's all part of the equation, right? Another example. Lebalim Arishon. Suppose Shimon sold it back to the fellow who sold him the field. I mean, that's the best he can do. That's the nicest thing he can do. Give it back to the former owner. Less from Shemdin and Bametra. Zavan Me'akam. Likewise, let's say a person purchases a field from a goy, v'zavan la'akum, or he sells it to a goy. In both cases, lespa m'shem dinu b'metzra, we don't apply b'metzra, the neighbor has no right. The Gemara explains why. Zavan me'akum, he buys it from a goy, because the customer can tell the neighbor, I did you the biggest favor, I got him out of the area. Ari, a lion, avrechilach m'metzra, I got rid of a lion from your boundary. Don't complain. Zavan la'akum, likewise, if he sells to a goy instead of his neighbor, now the point of the Gemara is that the halacha b'metzra pertains primarily to the customer. You shouldn't be buying ahead of the neighbor, right? But if he sells to a guy, the guy is the customer. What do you want from the guy? Akum vade lav bar. He's not one that's going to conform to this pasuk vasisa hayoshav atayvu. Now shamuti vade mishamtinele. Certainly, the person who sold the field to the guy now brought a guy as a neighbor to this Shimon fellow, poor guy. So he's going to be put into cherem, deserving of cherem. Adam kavaleh, unless he accepts upon himself kol einsi, any mishaps, the asi lemachmasei, which will befall Shimon on account of his, undesirable neighbor. Mashkanta, another case of no bar metzra. Mashkanta. So a borrower provided collateral by way of a field to the lender. So the lender is sort of using it, right, until the years are up. Less b'mishum dinu bar metzra. Now if the field is up for sale, certainly the lender has first right to take it because he's there already. I mean, you don't get a better neighbor than that. He's already on the field. The Amar of Ashi, Amrli Sovi, the elders of the town, the Motem Machasi, they told me, my Mashkanta, why do we even call it Mashkanta, Lashon of a Shachin, of a neighbor? The Shchon Gabay. It's his thing, it's his property, he's living on it. He's Manafkim, what's the point of this type of, right? Why, what's the significance? Dina bar metzra, exactly, for our halacha. That the fellow on the field is the biggest neighbor. I mean, he's there already, so he has first right of purchase. Limkar baruchak, another example, where we suspend bar metzra. A fellow is selling a field situated at a distance, far away from town. He's selling it to finance a field that he discovered close to town, that's up for sale today. Viligal bakarv, or barah, he's selling an inferior quality field to finance a local deal, but go Yafa to buy a field which is better. So the deal is right now. I mean, he has no time to wait for the neighbor to figure himself out. So here, we don't insist that he waits for him, just sell it to the first buyer, less for Mishamdina to Ametzer. We don't apply by Ametzer. Furthermore, Lekarga, let's say he's selling a property to satisfy the tax agents. Ulumazaine, or if Bezin is selling property to provide a widow or orphans their support, Lekfur, let's say it's needed to finance a burial. So in all these cases, Lesba Mishamdina Bamestra, you know, there's no issue of Bamestra, meaning just get the first customer and, you know, you don't expect him to wait. Right? So if the Bezin is selling it for this, for Kvura, all that, you can't expect him to wait for the neighbor to come around and, you know, figure his options out. And therefore, we suspend Bamestra. Oh, the Amar Nadoi, because in the Hardo they said Lakarga, right, for these three purposes, Lakarga, Zaini Lakura, Masbinin Lech Rast. Oh, typically we do an auction, right, auction system, but when it comes to these sales, we sell it right away. We have no time to wait for auctioneering. So likewise, we have no time to wait for the neighbor to figure himself out. Finally, the Isha, let's say a person is selling a property to a woman who's not accustomed to going around and surveying properties, so by her, it's the biggest asisa hayashav ha'tayv to give her a property outright without hesitation. Ulu yasma, you have young Yisraelim buying, same story. Ulu shutfi, oh, let's say a person is selling, right, to his partner rather than to his neighbor. So once again, the partner should have first right. He's already there, he's on the property. So in all these cases, we exempt him lesba mishumdin and bametra. Now comes another interesting question. A person is putting his property up for sale. Has a choice. He has two neighbors. Shcheini ha'ir, shcheini sada. The way Tesis explains, so he has this field situated between two neighbors. One fellow is the further away from town. The farm on the farther side of the on the far side of the field, away from town. That's called shcheini sada. That's one side of the field. Then he has a fellow with a farm on the city side of his farm, right, which is near his house. So it's more than just a farming neighbor. It's also a house neighbor. So which one goes first? Shcheini ha'ir kaitman. The city neighbor is more important. Keep good relations with your neighbor. Shachin v'tamat chacham. Oh, here comes an interesting point. Let's say you have a choice to either sell it to a neighbor or a Talmud Chacham. Here we say Talmud Chacham goes first, Kedem. Because you're providing with him, with his, you know, with an opportunity to Talmud Chacham, to Pizchos. Karev a Talmud Chacham. Choice between a neighbor or a Talmud Chacham. Once again, Talmud Chacham, Kedem, that takes priority. By the way, here comes a new question. Shachin v'karev mai. A choice. Sell it to a neighbor or a relative. Which one gets priority? Talmud Tashman. Toiv shachin karev machrochik. It's better to maintain good relations with a close, you know, to have a close a neighbor who you're constantly, you know, bumping into, me'ach rochig, than a brother, a relative who's far away at a distance. So basically, maintaining good relations with your neighbor is more important, and that takes priority. Now, let's say a person was offered money for his property, okay? And you have two customers. One is the bar mitzvah, the neighbor, and one is a stranger. Hani zuzi tavi, but they're offering different types of payment. He's giving more, usable currency, tavi, good coins. The other fellow is giving him, maybe the coins are not so readily accepted, not such a best currency, but they're heavier coins, have more, metallic value. So in this case, it's basically up to him. So basically, the seller can say, look, I prefer this one over that one, and we suspend the dina, the bar mitzvah, less bar mitzvah, dina bar mitzvah, we don't compel him to go to the bar mitzvah because they're offering different types of deals. So it's up to him. Hani tzairi v'hani shari. Likewise, let's say the bar mitzvah is offering him money in a bundle, in a closed package, and the other customer is offering shari, open money, where you can see and you can count it. Here again, we can't expect him to offer to take the neighbor's offer because He can say, look, I didn't want to get involved in, you know, I want to be more transparent. It's open money, and I don't want to get involved in all kinds of accusations that I took money that didn't belong to. So therefore, he can prefer the other customer. Now, let's say the neighbor says, look, I'm ready to buy. Omar, let me just go to a bank to finance the deal. I'm going to bring you money. Must he wait for him? Why not? He doesn't have to wait for him. But let's say, Omar, I'm going right now to go to my safe to pick up the money. Does he have to wait for him? Chazinan, so we figure out, Igavra the Amidu, if he's known to have money, right? The Ozlo Maisi Zuzi, so we're assuming he's going to get the money. Natrinle, we have to wait for him. Filoi, but if it's not expected for him to bring the money, Le Natrinle, we don't have to wait for him. Now what about Ara the Chad, Bati the Chad? Reuven owns a property, atop of which there are some houses built, and they were sold for a five-year sale, a temporary sale to Shimon. Mari Ara, now if the houses are for sale, Mari Ara Ma'akev Mari Batu. So the landowner can prevent the homeowner from selling it to a stranger. Look, I'm the local guy, I'm the neighbor. I'm beneath your home, right? Mari Batu, however, the homeowner, Lo Ma'akev Mari Ara, he can't hold back the landowner from selling this property. You know why? Because he's not even really there for long term, just a short term. Residency, so he's not really considered a bar mitzvah. Likewise, ara dachad, v'dikli dachad. You have one person owning the property, one person owning the palm trees growing on the property, and again, it's a short-term type of sale, ownership. So, mori da'ara, motzi ma'akava mori dikli. So the landowner can hold back the tree owner from selling his trees, because I'm the neighbor. Sell it to me, mori dikli, lo ma'akava, motzi ma'akava, mori da'ara. But the other way around, the tree fellow cannot insist that the landowner sells it to him, because he's not really there for long term. Now let's say you have two potential buyers. Ara Labati, one fellow plans on developing it into, you know, residential homes. Ara Lazar, the other fellow says he's going to use it for planting. Who should you sell it to? Yishuv Adav. Sell it to the fellow who's going to build the houses, which is, you know, creating yishuv, places of residence, which is of higher priority. V'lesba mishumdin v'mesra. In fact, it overrides b'mesra issues, so you give it to him, irrespective of whether he's a neighbor. Afsig mishunisa. Now, the whole point about Metzra is, again, to create that contiguity, right? The hemshech to allow the neighbor to have two, you know, fields next to each other to maintain them easily. But let's say there's something between the fields, a rocky, you know, a real, you know, a slab of stone, a richva de dikla, or a row of palm trees between the two farms. Can the neighbor still insist on, you know, buying the field? Chazina, we take a close look. If you could squeeze through even one, you know, one furrow, one row, one, you know, one tractor run, so then he can still claim, Bamesra, look, I'll take care of them as one. It's considered one contiguous property. But if there's no way to get through from one to the other, so in any case, he'll have to maintain them separately. So we cancel the whole din, less from Mishum Din Bametra. Hani Dalad B'nei Mitzrani. Let's say you have four neighbors on all four sides, and you're offering your land for sale, the Kadim Chad Minayu B'Zavim. And one of the neighbors purchased the field, Zbini. It's a valid deal, he's a Bametra. Right? But if they all come together, B'Kulu Osi Badi Adad, what do? We split it four ways. Palgula, they split it, B'Karna Zil. So we take a look at the diagram on the bottom. Basically, you're slicing the land into four triangles, with one triangle going per neighbor. Rashi says, Lashon of Karnazil, Zil Keren, go to the corners. Basically, apply the corner system. So you make four corners, and each fellow gets a triangle. We began with the story of Rabbi Barav Huna and his klala there. We spoke about lending a hand to unclog the river, unstuff the drainage system. We moved on to Basisa of Yashav HaToyev, which is the underlying concept to the idea of Dina de Bametra, which allows a neighbor to have first right of refusal. We have many, many exceptions to the rule. And ultimately, what you do when you're confronted by four neighbors. Parglo, Bekarnizel. All the best to you, Hatzlachara.